Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord your God has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. No one had failed. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened until he has destroyed you from the good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Then Joshua assembled the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him through Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron. And I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw them with your own eyes, and I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of Amorites, who lived east of Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possessions of their land. When Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, the son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hands. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent a hornet over you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you lived and you live in them, and eat from the vineyards and the olive groves you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."
All right. Am I on? Can everyone hear me okay? Great. Thank you, Joy. I love hearing you read the Bible because you bring such expression. Thank you. Welcome. If I can also extend my welcome to particularly anyone that may be here that's new. We continue our church gathering beyond the formal part of our Sunday over in the hall. So please do join us for a cup of tea or coffee afterwards. We'd love to get to know you and catch up. So for those that may not know, my name is Cameron. I'm one of the leaders here. And it's my privilege and awesome responsibility to bring the word this morning to you. I might just firstly start though by asking, can you think of a moment in your life when you needed to make a very important decision? Maybe it was deciding what to study at school, TAFE or university, in order to follow a certain career path. Perhaps it was choosing to leave home for the first time. Or even a bigger decision to not only leave your home, but to perhaps leave your country. And you may not know, but there are a few people in this church who have done that very thing. They've left home and they've left country to go to somewhere completely new. But whatever important decisions we make in our life, one thing we can and always should do is to reflect on the decisions that we make. You see, it's only when we stop and take the time to look at the past that we learn from our decisions. And let's face it, me included, all of us, we don't always make the best decisions all the time. However, there's one important decision that I'll share with you. One important decision that I made 22 years ago, and that was to become a follower of Jesus. And that single decision has changed my life forever. So today we finish a 7-week series in Joshua. Working through some 24 chapters is no small feat. And so we've heard from Chris, we've heard from David, I did one of the earlier ones. It's my privilege to wrap it all up this morning. In week one, the theme was the time has come. It was Israel's time. It was Joshua's time to lead the people after Moses had died. It was Joshua's responsibility to take that responsibility and lead Israel into the promised land. Week two, the theme was overcoming obstacles. And obviously one of those big obstacles that they first faced was a flooded Jordan River. So we worked through what it means to overcome obstacles, not only for Israel, but also for us. Week three, blessing follows obedience. So in moving through big obstacles, overcoming things that are just so daunting for us, when we take those big steps of faith and we step out into that flooded Jordan River, so to speak, when we take those first steps, God then blesses us. So that was week three. Week four, faith after failure. So after the conquest of Jericho, one of the things that God was very clear about was not to take those things, those possessions that belonged to the treasury. There was a man called Achan and his family, and they took some of those things for themselves. So we worked through what it means to have faith beyond failure. Week five, David brought us a great message 2 weeks ago. God is essential for success. If we include God in our plans, if we consult and ask Him and seek His will, that is the way in which we can be found to be walking in His will. Same is true for us today. We don't make things up. It's God who leads us, and we are drawn by His Spirit into the path He wants us to take. And last week, Chris brought us a fantastic message that took us through a big chunk of Joshua inheriting the land and the blessing that came and the promises that were fulfilled with Israel taking possession of the various parts of the land over the period after Jericho and Ai. And so today, we bring it all together, and our theme is looking back to look forward. But before I do, why don't I pray? Dear Lord, I'm conscious of the weather and the heat, and I ask God that you give us attentive hearts to hear what you have for us to say today. We thank you for the privilege of opening your word and for this series that we've had in Joshua. I pray that it's my words it's your words that are heard, not my own, and that you open our hearts to be receptive, to be aware, to be taught, to be humbled, and for us to know at the end of our time together that you have spoken to us. I pray these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Okay. So here we are, chapter 23 and 24. We didn't get to read all of it in our reading this morning, But I am hoping to work through and touch on most of the important details this morning. So towards the end of his life, Joshua assembles the nation of Israel together, and he's addressing the elders, the leaders, the judges, and all the important officials. He begins in chapter 23 reinforcing what God has done and the fact that it was God who gave them the victory. In verse 3, he says, "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you." And so then Joshua goes on to remind the people, what has happened is only the beginning. There was actually still more land for them to inherit, and that God himself would continue to fight their battles and drive out the remaining nations before them. He says, "Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I, the Lord, have conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land, as the Lord your God promised you." Now that promise of continued blessing was conditional, however, on following God completely. So in verse 6 we read, "Be very strong, be very careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left." And so this means not allowing anything to come between Israel and her relationship with God. In fact, God was so clear. He said it many, many times on many different occasions, not only to Joshua. He says in verses 7 and 8, "Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke their names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now." And see, God made it very clear as to what would happen if they didn't follow the laws given to them through Moses. "If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you." You see, as we heard earlier in our series, success and blessing was not assured for Israel. As Chris reminded us last week, it only came when they chose to obey God and to follow his directions. But as we know, if we continue on reading into the next book of the Bible, Judges, whenever Israel chose to ignore or reject God, guess what happened? God was not with them. They were overcome by their enemies. And certainly in the book of Joshua, we read about Achan, as I mentioned, and his family, and what happened when he did the wrong thing. So our first point this morning, and there's only three, is that success and blessing only comes if we obey and follow God. So let's fast forward a few thousand years to 2018 for all of us here assembled in this building today. If I was to ask you, are there things in your life that come between you and your relationship with God? What would you say? If we're really honest, are there things that cramp out God, that push God perhaps, you know, to the end of our day, or we don't think about God at all? Maybe we only think about God on a Sunday. So what sort of things? Let me give you an example. Joshua, not Joshua, my other son, Aaron, recognized this immediately. Apparently there's a cartoon that this comes from. But you may have heard the expression couch potato. We sit on the lounge or the sofa and we veg out. Another one might be social media. Do these things come between us and our relationship with God? Maybe work, maintaining a lifestyle, money. Any or all of these things can get in our way of honoring and serving God. You see, it only takes one of these things to take a higher priority than our commitment to serving God and His kingdom. It only takes one thing for us to be found unfaithful before a holy God. Our unfaithfulness toward God is actually no different to Israel's. It's just that the idols look different. Here's what Moses had to say after coming down that mountain and seeing Israel worshipping a golden calf. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So if we're only partially doing that and we let some of those things eat into the time that we need to spend with God, or using these things, or any other things, families, hobbies, as excuses why we can't serve God, then that's a problem. It amounts to unfaithfulness. It's often good to actually interpose Israel with our own name. Why don't we do that? I'll read it again. "And now, to the church in West Ryde, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul?" That's kind of the test. When we ask ourselves that question as a church, but also as individuals. As followers of Jesus, number one, we're called to give away our faith. One of the last things that Jesus said, and we read that in Matthew 28, he says, "Go into the world and make what? Disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That's our mission above everything else. That's our role as followers of him. And certainly we're also to love one another, because by our love, people will know that we are followers of Jesus. The classic verse that describes that is here: "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So we make disciples who go on to make more disciples, but we also love one another, love each other, love people that are different to us. Love people that are hard to love. It's a big call. All right, getting back to our passage. In chapter 24, Joshua brings all the people together and he delivers a powerful message of encouragement to remind them of God's faithfulness over time. In just 13 verses in chapter 24, Joshua retells Israel's history that began with Abraham some 700 years earlier. And to just quickly pop those things up for you, for your recollection, those promises were that he would make Abraham a great nation, that his name would be great, that he would be blessed, that he would have untold numerous descendants, that he would inherit land. And the big one is that all people, not just Israel, but all people would be blessed because of him. So as Joshua recounts the major events in Israel's history, he's revealing the miraculous way in which God was fulfilling his plan and purpose. We're not going to read through that passage again, but some of the highlights, again, just to keep in our mind all of the things that had happened up to this point in time for Israel. So you'll remember Isaac was born. Abraham would have been over 100, Sarah 90, and to have a child in their old age was nothing short of a miracle. So in order for that promise to occur for descendants, there needed to be a son and an offspring. And not only Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes that came from Jacob. Preservation of Israel and the family line during the terrible 7-year famine in Egypt. God fulfilling his purpose through Joseph, one of those 12 sons of Jacob. Being put in charge of the planning for this terrible season of drought and famine to enable the people and the family line of Abraham to be preserved. When Joseph was in charge, he brought his family to Egypt. So a big story just in itself of God's faithfulness through Joseph. And then Israel's population started to thrive in Egypt to the point then that they became a problem for Egypt and the Pharaoh. And then, as we know, they started to get persecuted. Death of the firstborn son of all the Hebrews, all the Hebrew boys. And then eventually the conquest to get out of, the exodus out of Egypt to escape this bondage led through Moses and the dramatic exodus, the 10 plagues, the signs and the wonders in the desert as they escaped the parting of the Red Sea. Moses hitting the rock, water gushing out, the provision of quails and manna on the ground. Miracle after miracle, provision after provision. Why? Because God had a plan to accomplish through his people. And obviously, earlier in the book of Joshua, the crossing of the Jordan River. And then the conquest into Canaan, the fall of Jericho. Ultimately, it was this last promise of God sending Jesus into the world that was and will continue to be fulfilled today. The promise given that all people would be blessed through him. You see, we are the recipients of that blessing because of God's extravagant love for you and me. His extravagant love in sending his son Jesus to be our Saviour, dying in our place on the cross. The very thing that we celebrate in 2 weeks' time at Easter. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this: God cannot tell lies, and so his promises and vows are two things that can never be changed. We have run to God for safety. Now, his promises should greatly encourage us to take hold of the hope that is right in front of us. The hope is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls. So our second point is this: given God's faithfulness over time, not only for Israel, but for you and me, ultimately expressed in his faithfulness in sending Jesus, that's our second point. God is faithful. He keeps his promises. Last week, we marked 94 years as a church family of God operating in this location. 94 years. That doesn't happen by accident. This church has changed and changed and changed throughout that 94 years. Has God ever stopped being part of this church and working through the people that come to this church to transform lives, bring more and more people into the kingdom? No, he hasn't. He continues to do that today. And evidence of that, a few weeks ago we had Mehdi and Hillel's baptism. What a wonderful reminder that God is working in our community, drawing people to us. And what are we called to be? Faithful and committed to Him. What further evidence do we need that God is at work in this community, in this church, right now? All right, and now we get to the climax of the passage in which Joshua challenges the people to make a decision. There's no sitting on the fence, there's no middle ground position, and definitely nowhere for anyone to hide. Joshua's challenge is God's challenge. It is unavoidable. And that called for a clear choice to be made. Let's have a look. Now fear the Lord. Fear, not in terms of scary fear, but reverential, respect, honoring. Fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I love these verses. Joshua puts out a clear challenge. He responds to that challenge for himself. And then he asks the people to do the same. There's no ambiguity. The challenge is direct and straight to the point. And so that's our third point. Applies equally to us. Who will you choose to serve? All of us here today face the same choice. Will I serve the Lord, or will I chase after other things? Get distracted by those things, allow those things to come between myself and the relationship I have with God. If I choose to serve the Lord, would I be willing to obey Him and serve Him in every part of my life? How we spend our time is often a really good indicator of where our priorities lay, what's important to us. Am I generous towards God in using my time, my abilities, my gifts, opening up my home? Let me ask this question. How much time do you think you spend each day or week sitting in front of the TV, doing sport or exercise, going to the gym, going to work, on social media, surfing the internet, hobbies? All right, so just imagine what chunk of time that represents. And now ask this question. How much time do you spend reading the Bible each week, praying, participating, leading in any form of discipleship activity, having new people into your home, even meeting someone down at the cafe for a chat? How much time do you spend on those kind of activities? Our time that we spend is often indicative of how much we care about something. In the same way, how we spend our money is a good indicator of what matters to us and what we care about. What does your bank account or credit card statement say about you and your spending priorities? Do you regularly give? Is what you give sacrificial? Does it hurt? Today, as we've been reminded, we've got a special church meeting. And we call it a special church meeting because it's not one of our regular quarterly meetings. It's a specific meeting that we've called together as a church to discuss important things. One of the things, as we know, is to discuss a significant financial issue that we're facing at the moment. Now, not wanting to alarm anyone, but we've probably got enough money in the bank account for our church to keep operating for another 6, maybe 7 weeks. This is quite serious. As someone who has been part of this church for over 17 years, I can tell you we've been through some difficult times. But I believe our current problem of finance is not really a finance issue, but more to do with the faith and commitment needed from every person that comes and forms part of this church family. A faith and commitment that's needed so that this church can move forward. Again, the theme of this year, moving forward. The faith and commitment needed for us to move forward on the course or the path that God has asked us to follow. As one of the leaders here, I'm more than convinced that God is about to do something big, something altogether amazing. I'm convinced, I know that God wants to bless this church. God is ready to bless this church and to bless the community that He has placed us in. But He is waiting on one thing. Commitment. Commitment for our hearts to be in tune with His. Commitment to obey and serve Him in every part of our life. Commitment to being transformed to be more like His Son, Jesus. And commitment to grow in our relationship with God and with each other. See, God wants to see us committed before He blesses us. In the same way, Joshua challenged God's people to choose who they would serve. We must do the same today. As the people God has assembled together in this community in 2018, we also need to decide who we will serve. Are we 100% committed to this church? Or would we rather sit on the fence and watch from the sidelines? The question I ask myself, the question we all need to ask ourselves, am I prepared to obey and serve the Lord in this community or not? There is no point in being half committed. Our commitment is either all or nothing. Being committed to obeying and serving the Lord, that means giving God first place and priority in everything. What does everything mean? It means our time, number one, our family, our gifts and abilities, being generous in how we use those things for others and for the kingdom. Our homes, opening our homes, being generous in the use of our homes, inviting others into our homes, sharing meals with others, and particularly those who are outside of our faith, visitors to our church, people that are yet to understand what it means to follow Jesus. Giving God first place and priority in everything also means our possessions. Our possessions also means our money. After all, everything we have belongs to God. So being committed to serving and following God and making Him first in our life means being generous. Why would we be generous? There's really one reason. Because God was generous to us. He did not hold back giving His Son Jesus to enter our world, to forgive us for the things that we've done wrong. We can stand before God unashamed because our sins have been dealt with, we have been forgiven, and we've been gifted with life and life to the full, everlasting life, in fact. So through God's generosity to us, so must we be generous to him. And so I come back to where I started. The same picture, but with a question for us all to answer. Who will you choose to serve? Let's pray. Father, I pray that your words have been heard this morning, that we each know and understand what is at stake, that we can't come to you half committed. We actually need to be fully committed. And it's only that commitment that is holding back your blessing at this moment in our church. I pray for each and every person here today, and even for those that are not, that we would be fully committed to you. That our hearts will be in tune with you, that we'll obey and serve you in every part of our life, that we are committed to being transformed to be more like you, and that we're committed to growing in our relationship with you and with one another. Lord, we pray for our hearts to respond to your generosity for us in being generous back to you in every part of our life. We thank you for your word and the power it has to convict us of the changes that we need to make. I pray as much for myself as for everyone here this morning that I would be committed, that I would be generous, and that I would seek to follow you completely in every part of my life. I pray these things through your precious name.